This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
If you are new, but if you're not or whatever, we've been in a series, and so we're kind of bringing it down. We're almost through this wonderful passage, Psalms 23, one of the most familiar passages of Scripture that whether you know God or you don't know God or you know the Bible, you don't know the Bible, you might have heard this particular piece of Scripture, whether it's been at a funeral or some other type of event. This is a scripture that we so draw ourselves to, where David writes this amazing psalm from the perspective of a shepherd, because he was a shepherd. And so we're almost through this together. And so one thing we've been doing that I look forward to every week is that it's not something we normally do, but we've actually been reading the Psalms out loud together. And so you're following along, reading with me. And so would you join me today, as best you can, with all power and awakeness. Would you join me today as we read this psalm together? It'll be on the screen if you need that. But here we go. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come on, isn't that amazing? Isn't God's word so good? It's just so good. There's so much you can glean from that and leave that and learn from that. We're focusing today, like I said, we're winding down here, and we're focusing today on verse 5, where David writes this amazing thing where he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows." I'm so excited that you're here today. You chose to be here on this particular day because we are launching a whole new initiative, something that God has deposited in my life that we are simply calling 100 Days of Faith, where we are believing in the next 100 days that God is going to do something incredible in your life and in my life. But there's a key word in those 100 days. It's called faith. It's believing. What maybe throughout this message today you can ask yourself or allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, what is it that you would believe for, or what are you believing for God to do for you? And over these next 100 days, you can ask that question, you can pray about that, you can search that, and we just believe that God is going to do some incredible things in our church over the next 100 days. But the reality is this scripture is a great place to jump off of that. We're coming to the place where David's bringing this whole psalm to a final point. We know that he's in a difficult season in his life, and he's bringing this to this final place to bring it all home. And I feel like, I'm just saying to you, maybe if you've been a part of this series, again, you can always go back on social media and watch it. But if you've been a part of it, I don't know about you, but I feel like I've gotten a PhD in sheep and shepherds, all right? Like, I've learned so much about sheep and shepherding. But it's so good on who God is. It's so good on how he cares for us. It's so good on how God, this good shepherd, really wants to operate in your life today. And so as we've been going line by line, we've been able to ask and look at parts of this psalm and really realize, oh, wait a minute. So this is what God has to say for me. This is what God does for me. Oh, this is how God cares for me and corrects me and leads me. And now we get to this verse 5 where it's almost like there's three verses in one, where he takes three things. He says, you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. And he takes these three valuable meaning sayings and he crunches them all together, and there's purpose behind it. And so today we started where David says this, starts this verse 5, and he says, you prepare a table before me. I love that. I don't know about you. I can't speak for you, but I love that because I love food, all right? I don't know about you. My family and I, we are foodies. I don't know if there's any foodies in the house, but like that is our mission, like to find the best food in town. Like I find joy when someone says, where should I go get the best steak? I know. Where's the best pizza? I know. You know what I mean? Like, I want to know that. Like, we live our lives as a family, like, on how food's emotional for us. Like, we don't just wake up and go, oh, we'll just go get a sandwich. No, we wake up and go, okay, what do you want to eat today? Like, it is definitive. Like, what are we craving? What do we want? And I know from my very lean physique that you don't think that I make really good choices or that I make good choices. And I'm working on it, so don't judge me. But I think for all of us, right, food intake is one of those things that have the biggest control over our lives. It's just a reality, right? How many people have this deficiency called hangry? You ever know what I'm talking about? Like, you're sitting next to someone, you're like, that's you. You're sitting next to someone and say, in 30 minutes, you will be experiencing hangry. I know it. My wife she didn't understand this when we got married, but when I was a kid, maybe you can identify with this, but when I was a kid, I was introduced to Little Debbie. And y'all know her? Y'all know who Little Debbie is? All right, just making sure. I was introduced to Little Debbie. Now, not just Little Debbie, but her creation of this thing called a Nutty Buddy. All right? Now, come on. A Nutty Buddy, if you don't know, is chocolate with a wafer with peanut butter all smashed together. It doesn't get any more heaven than that. And I was introduced to that. And years later, after I was married, Little Debbie came out with king-size Little Debbie, right? Come on, king-size Little Debbie. It was over at that point. Now, I know that church is where you're supposed to be vulnerable, all right? So I'm just being vulnerable with you this morning. Like, church is the place where you're supposed to take off the mask and be real and be transparent. But for me, Nutty Buddies are like failure material, all right? And every once in a while, I get that little bit of craving. Like, I got it under control, just so you know. But I get that little craving that will come, and I want to indulge on a Nutty Buddy. Now, the good news is stores now sell individual Nutty Buddies, right? I don't have to buy the whole box to get my fix. And I know I'm working on it. I'm trying to stick to the lean chicken, the grain-fed beef, grass-fed beef. I'm buying produce that I will throw away in a few days later because it starts to rot. And but the reality is that the Little Debbie, I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's me. I don't know. But the Little Debbie, it has this thing where you crave it, you want it, but it only fulfills momentarily. Like yes, it's the best 60 seconds of your life, but then it sets in. And I actually love it because I've actually introduced my kids to Nutty Buddies because, you know, my wife was like, no, she didn't like him, but I want to make sure I want to leave a legacy. I want to do my part. All right? So I'm leaving a legacy with my kids on Nutty Buddy. But I love introducing them to the king of Nutty Buddy, which is the Christmas Nutty Buddy. Come on, you don't know what the Christmas Nutty Buddy is? Like the white chocolate with the red? You don't know. So anyway, it's just that good. Try it. But today, the shepherd, he says the shepherd prepares a table. And the reality is when he talks about it, he's talking about a table that's not temporary, but a table that literally satisfies. Like little Peep here, we've been calling Peep, you know, a little sheep. Little Peep here is not eating Little Debbie's. The table in the Old Testament, when David's describing this, the table was a description of what the shepherd actually does for the sheep. In fact, the table in this particular scripture is a geographical term, which literally just means plateau. It'll be on the screen. But the table is literally just a plateau. Thank you. I don't know what's going on with my mic. Can you hear me now? Am I still good? Yes. All right, this is new. I'm not used to preaching with these in my hands. I like to have my hands free, so we're going to give this a shot. But it's a geographical term that literally means plateau. It's this idea. I have a picture for you. It's this idea literally of like this plateau. It's literally what it is. It was a flat raised landform with a nearly level surface. It was this plateau that just set out, and this was the table that David was literally talking about. And what's interesting, if you look at this picture, like just one verse before, we talked about it last week, David writes, though I walk through the valley, through the dark valley. The reality is that in order for the sheep to survive, in order for the sheep to really get all that it needed to get, it needed to journey to a place. And if you look at that picture, the shepherd would lead the sheep to this plateau and to find during certain seasons to find food so that they could grow, so that they could survive. But here's the reality when you look at that picture. Did you notice that in order to get to the plateau, they had to walk through some valleys to get there? Like, you didn't just arrive. There wasn't an elevator that you hit third floor and it took you up. They had to journey to get there. Hear me this morning. There will be, and there always are, maybe for some of you, there are going to be some moments where you're going to walk through some dark valleys. But here's what David's trying to tell us. Even though you're going to walk through those dark valleys, it means that you're going to a place, he's leading you to a table. He's leading you to a place. There's going to be valleys. There are going to be seasons that you're going to walk through. But as you walk through those places, God's going to has a table that he's prepared for you. A place that that he has such good things for you. And so I'm just encouraging you, when you walk through seasons and those dark seasons in your life, don't despise it. Don't give up in the middle of it. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. God has set a table before you, a plan for your life. Don't be discouraged this morning. And David goes on, he says, hey, the good shepherd, he prepares a table before me. And this is such an amazing picture of who God is. Because he says there that the table is being prepared before us. The shepherd, right? And David knew this, would go before ever leading the sheep to that plateau. Before ever leading them to that table, the shepherd would always go before them. He would go ahead of them. He would go ahead of time, and he would take these preliminary trips. And on these before trips, the shepherd would do things like he would clear out debris that would get in the way of the journey to the plateau, to the table. He would clear out all the debris. He would check for the best watering spots to make sure that there's water on this table, that they would make sure that there's a place where they could be refreshed and encouraged and nourished. He would go there ahead of time. The shepherd would go before ever taking a sheep to the table, and he would clear out all the enemies, the wolves and the lions and the bears that could destroy the sheep. And probably most importantly, he would make sure that this table that he's leading into, this place, had everything that the sheep needed to survive. But not just survive, church. He made sure that it had everything they needed to flourish. He literally would prepare the table before the sheep. And I want to tell you this morning, you need to be reminded that God has gone before you. And he's got amazing things for your life. God is preparing you for the next season. He's preparing some of you for your next job. He's preparing some of you to experience financial freedom. For some of you, he's preparing some relationships to be restored. Some of you just need healing, and you need to know God's preparing the table before you. Some of you just need peace and joy brought into your life. You need to know that God is preparing that place for you. He's preparing the calling that is on your life. He's preparing a place before you because he's a really, really good shepherd. And God's desire for all of us in this room is to thrive. And the problem with the church today is we just have this mentality of like, well, if I could just endure, if I could just make it through, like we get this mentality like, oh God, I'm just waiting for you to come back, you know? Oh God, I'm just waiting, like, oh, I can't wait until one day you're going to call me home. And we just have this endure mentality. And I'm just here to tell you, God didn't prepare a table for you to just endure. He prepared a table for you to thrive, to flourish where he has you right here and right now. David goes on and he gives this description of the good shepherd, and he writes these words, in the presence of my enemies. And I don't know about you, but the last thing I want to do is sit around a table in the presence of my enemies. I just don't want to be a part of that. But the reality is the good shepherd knows that the sheep have real enemies. You know, even though we think that we are invincible, like many times we live our lives like we're in control of everything, that we've got this, nothing can overtake us. Like I read a story one time about Muhammad Ali was on an airplane and he's flying. If you know Muhammad Ali, the great boxer, and he's on an airplane and the stewardess walked by and noticed he didn't have a seatbelt on. And she said, Mr. Ali, I need you to fasten your seatbelt. Which Mr. Ali quipped back to her and said, Superman doesn't need no seatbelt. She's like, Mr. Ali, again, I need you to put on your seatbelt. Which Mr. Ali quit back again. Listen, I told you, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she quit back and she goes, well, Superman doesn't need an airplane either. Put on your seatbelt. Which he put on his seatbelt afterwards. This idea that we're invincible, that we've got this, I can handle all these things, I'm good, I can make it through. You got to understand, unfortunately, that's not reality. Sheep have real enemies. They face coyotes and wolves and bears. They've got enemies that want to do anything they can, that want more than anything in life to find the opportunity to take them out. They are real enemies. And the interesting part about the scripture that we read and the intention of our enemies is that most of the attacks that you face, most of the attacks that the real sheep face are when they are found in isolation. When we find ourselves in isolation, when they are away from the flock, when we are away from the shepherd, that's when the attacks tend to come. I wrote it down this way. You need to get this if you're taking notes, but here's the reality for all of us. Our distance from the shepherd causes our defeat. Our distance from the shepherd will cause our defeat. We literally think, again, we don't need anyone to do faith. I can do faith all by myself. I can walk it. I can make it to heaven. I don't need anyone around me. And David is reminding us that it's God who does this for us. It's God who prepares this place for us. God, he does this in front of our enemies. He cares for us and he takes care of us. It's not, your faith cannot succeed by yourself. You need the good shepherd that's prepared the place for you. I saw this cartoon. It kind of reminded me this week, this little picture reminded me of what I was talking about the other day, right? This dog is like just running circles around this sheep, right? The sheep's like, dude, I'm the only sheep for miles around. Cool it, will you? Right? This idea. And that's the kind of really the idea we all live with sometimes in life. It's like the dog is there to protect him and to watch out. Hey, he understands. You need me. I'm here for you. And the sheep's got this mentality like, I got this. I'm on my own. Cool it. I can do this. Here, it's so much of our lives, how we live our lives today, that we get this idea that, hey, I'm good. Things are going so good in my life. Why do I need a good shepherd? I've got everything I need in this world today. I've got all the technology. I got a good job. I got money. Why do I really need a good shepherd? And can I tell you why you need a good shepherd? I wrote it this way, because you have a real enemy. Because you have a real enemy. And that's why you need a good shepherd. It's crucial for us to know this. For those of you who've grown up in church this morning, you've been a part of the church forever, or maybe you're kind of new to church and all what church is all about. Sometimes we see this. It doesn't matter from where you come from. We sometimes see this whole enemy thing from two types of spectrums. The first spectrum we see the enemy thing is we get this idea that the devil is behind every bush. So like you stub your toe, you're like, oh man, that devil's out to get me, right? Or you're like, you know, you're broke, you've got no money. Oh man, the devil's just after my money, you know? Or maybe like, you know, your car is empty on gas again. Oh, the devil. You go out through life, you're like, oh man, your kids won't listen to you. You're like, oh, those devils. Maybe another one's like, I gotta go to work today. The devil's just out to ruin my life. Right? Or maybe I love this one, like my favorite sport team lost again. Man, the devil just doesn't want me to have any fun, right? But the reality is, no, the devil is not behind every, maybe it's just that you're poor at managing your money. Maybe you just don't know how to walk right without walking into things. Maybe you need to start putting gas in your car. Or maybe you just need to start picking some good sports teams to like. It's not always the devil. The devil is not behind every bush. Sometimes we just got to wake up and go, listen, we are adults. We are human beings. There is an element of ordering your life. There's an element of you being disciplined and having responsibility. But then also, there's the other side of the spectrum where we would deny that there really is a devil. That we would say, well, there's really not a real enemy. That's just false. But here's the reality. You need to understand this, the devil isn't made some made-up tradition or fairy tale. There he is a real enemy. And the key for us to realize this morning is that we have an enemy, and the Bible refers to him as the devil. And he is real. But we are not here to give him any credit. We're not here to give him any credit. I wrote it down this way. Get this morning. Understand this. He is not the opposite of God. He is not the opposite of God. And here's the problem for so many of us. We've lived this Christian life, and we refer, and we've given him way too many credit. We put him too much on an equal plane, and we make statements as Christians like, well, you got light and you got dark. You've got good and you've got evil. You've got God and you've got the devil. Why ever hint at placing them on the same level? Why ever hint at that? God is the creator of the universe. By his voice, he said, let there be light, and there was light. And because he hasn't said stop, we have breath in our lungs today. Because he hasn't said stop, the sun is shining outside. He is the creator of all things. He is the ruler of all things. There is no equal between them. The devil is a created being. He rebelled against God and he was cast out. And now the Bible says that he sets a table before your enemies. Hear me this morning. You only do that if you know that you're greater than your enemies. You only do that if you're greater than, and hear me this morning, God is greater than your enemy. God is bigger and greater than your enemies. God is bigger than any obstacle that is before you. God will defeat any attack that tries to come upon your life. So why give our enemies any more credit than they deserve? Our enemies are below him. We serve a greater God. I think we need to go back to elementary school where we first learned the power and significance of the capital letters, right? And we, you and I today, we serve the capital G-O-D. And the capital G-O-D is greater than your enemy. And you need to know that today. You need to believe it. You need to speak it. You need to remind yourself of it. Because sometimes if I'm honest, I'll just speak for Heath. If I'm honest, I've given the enemy more credit than he deserves in my life. Way too much credit. And you need to believe that and you need to speak that this morning. God is for you. God is for me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And you don't need to live. He sets a place before your enemies because he is greater than your enemies. So David goes on and he gets to this place where he says, I set a table for you. I've set it in place in front of your enemies. And he gets to this last part of this scripture where he says, now you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. We get to this place where God has prepared this place for us. He goes before you. He comforts you and protects you. And even in the face of your enemies, he's still with you. And as long as we stay close to the shepherd, he is so much greater than anything you can face. In fact, I even wrote it down this way. Sometimes when you can't see the shepherd, remember to stay close to the flock. I was driving in today. First, my wife and I were driving in, and somewhere on Mullen Road, I guess there's a sheep farmer, because I just happened to look over, and literally we look and all these sheep are laying down, but they're all laying together. Like there's not just one person out. And I was like, man, if I had time, I want to take a picture of that. I want to be, the sheep will stay, as long as they stay close to the flock, God is there to protect them. It's in those moments, church, when you feel like maybe God is distant, and he's not. He's never distant from you, but you feel that way. Or you get to those moments where you feel alone and all by yourself. That's why we have the church. That's why we have community. That's why we have the flock. So when I can't see God, I can see God in others. When I go through those places where I need encouragement, like when I'm seated around my enemies, I can be reminded that there are those around me who can share in my struggles and share in my pains. We have to stay close to the flock. And in the end, it's about making an intentional effort to connect in community. And I believe this, when we are alone, we are the easy prey. When you're alone, you are set up for the enemy, right? You're set at a place, but when we are close to the shepherd, when we are close to the flock, we are protected and we are encouraged. Isolation, I believe this morning, causes our faith to weaken. So part of God's protection and part of God's plan for your life is this awesome description that David gives where he says, he anoints my head. He anoints our head with oil. Now, just bear with me for a moment because I want to get a little National Geographic on you, if I can, for just a moment. But we've had Peep here, right? We've been talking about Peep, our little sheep. And this first part of this verse talks about he prepares a table. So now Peep is in this place of paradise. He's in this place where the shepherd has gone and he's prepared a place where he's gonna have all his needs met. He's gonna have plenty of food. He's gonna nourish. And he's even gonna be protected from his enemies. And it just sounds like he's just in this wonderful, wonderful place of paradise, right? Though he's in paradise, and though it seems like everything is prepared for him, unfortunately, he's still susceptible to parasites. In fact, it's actually accurate in the Middle East, historically accurate, that even these places that would have green grass and it would seem like these plateaus were perfectly set out, that even in the midst of that, there were still flies and bugs on these plateaus that would swarm around the sheep. Now, how many know, if you haven't checked yet, we live in Montana. And you know what I'm talking about. Like, and the other thing is we live in a land of paradise. Like, it's beautiful here. People come from all over the United States and the world to see Montana, to see what we have here. I have people that I know, friends of mine, when I talk to them, like, and I'm like, yeah, man, we live in Missoula, we live in Montana, and usually 100% their reaction is like, really? Wow, that would be really cool. That'd be really awesome. And I'm like, yeah, but we got bugs. We got bugs. If you could see my kids with bugs, I don't know what happened to them. Like my son, my 17-year-old son, his voice goes up an octave when a bee flies by. It's crazy. My daughter looks like she's on something when a bug flies by. You would think that the world is falling down. We're like, ah, and she's running around shaking her head. We're all like, what? Is a fly. Who raised you? But I wrote down this one. We got to understand, there are pests in paradise. There are pests in paradise. There are pests in this thing called faith, right? We can be doing all the right things. Man, we could be serving God with all of our hearts. We could be worshiping and praying and reading God's word. We could be attending church, serving church, giving, but we still feel like there's some flies swarming around your nose. There's still pests that are bothering you. Like I'm doing all the right things, and yet it still feels like there's battle in my life. Like there's these little nuisances that just want to derail me. They want to distract me. They want me to cause me to lose focus and to lose faith. And if we are really honest this morning, they hold us back. The parasites in the parasites in paradise actually hold us back. If we are honest, they affect our ability to really believe that God can do what he says he can do. They have a way of literally distracting us that way. We have these pests that creep into our lives and they affect our faith. We have these pests like insecurity that tell us that we're not good enough, that we don't measure up. We have these pests that affect our faith called fear. We have these pests that affect our faith called like our attitudes or our own self-righteousness. We have these pests that come into our faith called other people. You know those pests? None of you have them. We have these pests that come into our faith called this low belief system. We have this other really pest that's into the church where some people like to live with one foot in the world and one foot in faith. And we think, well, maybe if I could have all these things and still have this, then life would be great. How many of you know God has not required you to live with one foot in the world and one foot out? He's required all of you. And yet we have this pest that come into our lives. It could be so many other things, but they're a pest to your faith. And David writes this psalm from a shepherd's perspective because he knows that. And he knows that the oil is the antidote to all of that. The problem is that even in paradise, the sheep risk serious infections due to the parasites. The sheep literally are prone to infections. These infections that take them over. But it doesn't just, the infection doesn't have the ability to take out one sheep. The infection literally has the ability to spread quickly throughout the whole flock. The infection and the parasites can take out the whole flock. And if you're following me today, if we aren't careful, these parasites can infect our unbelief, our sin, our low view of God, our lack of commitment to community. Hear me this morning, it can spread. It can spread into your faith, and it can spread into your family. It can spread into your relationships. It can spread throughout your church. We have these unresolved issues in our lives, like bitterness or anger or lack of trust and faith. We have these unresolved sin that's taken resident in your life, and it's caused an infection. And they are like this nuisance of flies, and they fly around you, and they're never, you're never really truly finding rest and peace that you so desire. You live a life agitated, just hoping, God, don't you have more for me? Just hoping, God, can you just do and be who you said you could be and what you could do? And what happens literally in sheep, so true, that these parasites and these flies would fly around them, and they literally would lay eggs on the head of the sheep, where it would get in their eyes and in their nose and in their ears, right? And it would just irritate them to no point. These parasites would cause the sheep to literally live infected. So, but here's the good news that David reminds us. That's when the good shepherd steps in. And he says, you know what? I'm going to anoint your head with oil. This is so crucial, what this meant to the sheep and what it means for us today. The shepherd would literally actually take this sheep, and he would take this like vat, and he would have this vat just full to the brim of oil. He would literally take this oil, and he would take the sheep, and he would grab the sheep, and this is so crucial. He would grab the sheep and carry it, and how many know sometimes sheep can squirm? Sheep can be defiant, and they can be like, no, I don't want this. What are you doing to me, right? But yet the shepherd knows what's best for the sheep. And so he takes the sheep, and he literally takes it, and he'll take some, and he will actually take some oil, and he will put it over the nose of the sheep, over the eyes of the sheep, and the head of the sheep, because as the parasites have infected the sheep's body was failing and not living to its potential. But the shepherd knows that the antidote was oil. I wrote down this way for some of you today. You need to know this. We need oil to overcome. We need oil to overcome. And what they would do is, not only that, they would take little Peep here screaming and kicking, and they would take the sheep, and even though he's doing all that, the shepherd would literally take the full sheep and dip him, submerge him completely into the oil. The whole body, they would put it in full into oil. And this is the sheep's only recovery from the parasites attacking his body. It was the only hope for the issues that he was facing. So the shepherd would submerge the sheep, and he would put him all there and make sure he's fully covered, and take him out of the oil, and he pulled him out. And here's the truth. The shepherd, I want you to get this morning. The shepherd this morning is absolutely fully aware of what's going on, even though the sheep has no clue. Hear me, church. You might feel like, does God really know what I'm walking through? Does God really have an understanding? You need to know this for your faith this morning. The shepherd is fully aware of what's going on in your life. He's not surprised by it. He's not taken back by it. He knows what's going on. The sheep is not living his best life. And so the shepherd's like, I've got to do something to help the sheep live up to the potential that I believe he could live up to. Got to do something to help this sheep live up to the potential that I have for his life. So the shepherd doesn't, so the sheep doesn't know this, but he's been submerged in the oil. And get this truth, with all meticulous, with all intention, the shepherd would take the sheep out, and he would take his hand and literally, truth, anoint his head with oil. He would take that sheep and he would rub all over his head this oil. Listen to me, because the parasites were most prominent around the head. And that's why they would do that. And that's why David wrote this. And I'm just telling you, as I was praying and prepping for this message this morning, as I was sitting there, I believe the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart. I believe that the biggest battlefield of our faith today is our mind. The biggest battlefield of your faith, I think the biggest battlefield of the faith biblically was the mind. And David, as a shepherd, knew that. And he gave this description of this good shepherd who anoints the mind, who anoints those things that are taking you out of the game. Listen to me this morning. It's problematic for us. The self-talk, the doubt and the unbelief that creeps into our minds, the identity crisis and issues that we go into, trying to figure out, is Jesus really all I've been told that he is? Can Jesus really do all that he said he would do? Listen to me. I'm going to be very clear with you this morning, church. As we are wrapping up Psalms and we're talking about 100 days of faith, you've got to understand, and I believe this with all my heart, 2024, Christians and the church is dealing with a lack of faith crisis. We are in the midst of a lack of faith crisis. We see everything going on around us, things happening to us, and our mind goes to a whole other place. Like, do I really trust God? Is God really, really real? And God this morning is trying to dip you in some oil. He's trying to anoint your head so that you can overcome the parasites. You can overcome the things that have stolen your faith, the things that have stolen your belief, the things that have stolen your hope and your joy. Hear me this morning. Jesus didn't pay the great price on the cross so that you can live infected. He didn't pay the great price on the cross so that you can live a faithless life. He didn't pay the price on the cross so that you can live a life that is not meant to thrive on the table that he's prepared for you. You are more valuable than that. And the thing about it is that oil throughout the scripture, almost always when oil was described in the scripture, it was always symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to dwell inside of you today. This oil, this anointing that God wants to give you is the Holy Spirit that wants to dwell inside of you today to encourage you, to strengthen your faith. Jesus is talking in the Gospel of John, and it's recorded this way as he's talking to his disciples, and he makes this statement to them. He said, "But very truly I tell you, it is good for you that I'm going away. Unless I go away," it says the advocate. Another way we could say it is, listen, unless I go away, the oil can't come. The advocate can't come to you. But if I go, I'll send him. I'll send him to you. He will come. See, the disciples thought when Jesus was rose from the grave and he was dead and he reappeared to them, it was like celebration party time. Their mindset was, now we can set up shop. Now we can curse all the people that did all these terrible things to you, and we can now take over. And Jesus gives them a whole totally different response. He says, look, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. But there's an advocate that's coming for you. There's an oil that's coming to your faith that will dwell inside of you, that will encourage you. A good shepherd that's going to lead you and guide you and protect you and provide for you and encourage your faith. We believe Jesus conquered the death. Absolutely. We believe that he conquered the grave. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding. He's praying for you and for me. And he sent us the oil, the Holy Spirit, so that we can overcome. And so that our faith does not have to live infected. And so the good shepherd doesn't look at the sheep, right? He doesn't look at you, and he doesn't look at the sheep. The good shepherd doesn't go, oh, gross, you're infected. Whoa, look at you. Man, you're a mess. The good shepherd doesn't look at you and go, wow, look at the parasites overcoming you. Dude, you are terrible. The good shepherd doesn't look at the sheep and go, man, I should have left you in the dark valley. You don't deserve to be at the table. That's not what the good shepherd does. No, the shepherd says, you know what? I'm going to care for the sheep. I'm going to anoint their head with oil because I see purpose for the sheep. And I'm going to do what I can do for this sheep to bring it back to its full potential. And that's what he does over your life. He wants your faith to reach its full potential. I anoint your head with oil. In other words, here's my Holy Spirit to have with you, to advocate for you, to lead you, to guide you, to deposit faith in your life. Simply because our good shepherd knows that we need him today. We need him. Hear me this morning. God is for you. Even when you are infected, even when your faith doesn't live up to what it should live up to, your good shepherd is for you. And here's the reality for you today. The sheep, I love it because the sheep doesn't have to do anything. Nowhere does it say that. The oil tank was all set up for him. He didn't have to bring his own oil to the tank. It was all there for them. The sheep was picked up. The sheep was carried to the tank. He didn't have to do anything. All the sheep had to do was let the shepherd carry him. All the sheep needed to do was trust the shepherd. The shepherd did all the work. He did all the work that the sheep needed to overcome. All the sheep had to do was believe in the shepherd. And much like today, I want to encourage you as we close, God's not frustrated with you. God's not looking for perfection in you. He's not looking for perfection in me. He's just looking for your faith. He's looking for you to believe that he can do what he says he can do. He's looking for you and I to say, you know what, God, I don't know the answers. I don't have it all figured out, but I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to trust you because I believe you do. You do have all the answers. You do have it all out. So God, dip me in your oil. Send your Holy Spirit to advocate for me, to strengthen my faith. And hear me this morning, that's what David is getting to the point of realization. He is in a tough, tough place when he's writing this song. His world is literally falling apart. But he says, my God anoints me. My God takes care of anything, anything that can destroy my confidence in him. Would you stand with me this morning as we close out? You right now. We are in a faith crisis in the church today. Whether you've been serving God your whole life or just for a few minutes, we're in a faith crisis. Like, do we believe that God can do what he said he could do? Do we believe that he really is a good shepherd who cares for us and advocates for us, who cares for us and leads us? And I just believe that when a group of believers come together and we draw the line in the sand and say, I have a good shepherd who anoints my head. And I'm going to believe who he is. I'm going to believe in what he can do. And I'm going to follow him no matter what parasites come my way with all that I can. And when the church comes together and believes that, that's the church that will succeed. That's the church that will do all the things that God's called it. I'm going to pray right now as we begin. We're going to just sing out in worship. But as we're in this moment, I'm going to ask you. Pastor Britton starts to say, right where you're sitting today, maybe you need to ask the question, God, where is my faith? Do I believe in you? Do I believe that you can do all the things that you said you could do? Do I believe that you see potential in me? And am I willing to have the faith to live up to that potential? And I believe that as we answer those questions, the anointing will come. And he will anoint your head with oil. The Holy Spirit will come and it will guide you. He will lead you. And he will protect you. Can we just take a moment? Let's worship the Lord today.
He has good. Good for me, so I will take heart in deserts and gardens. He has goodness. He has goodness for me. I know my father as he has goodness. He has goodness for me, so I'll take heart in deserts and gardens. He has goodness, he has goodness for me. If I know my father, I know my father, and he has goodness, he has goodness for me. So I will take heart in deserts.
What am I believing you for over these next 100 days? You're going to see all kinds of things come this way. But today, I'm going to encourage you, right outside these walls, we have this thing called a faith wall. And I think it starts right there. If you're believing God for something, this is a great opportunity to come. We have cards. We want you to come. And you just write, God, this is what I, maybe it's more than one thing, but God, I'm believing for this. I'm exercising my faith, believing for you for this over these next 100 days. And I want you to, if you take a card, write it on it, put it on that wall. And you know what we're believing? We're believing on the next 100 days, those cards are going to come down because God has met you where you are. And God has provided for you, and he's met the thing that you are believing him for. We're going to be challenging you in areas of giving. We're going to be challenging you in areas of serving. What does God want to do in CLC over these next 100 days as we extend our faith to the Good Shepherd? The other thing I want to offer you is before you leave today, right out at the Welcome Center, we have developed a little devotional, 100 Days of Faith devotional, where we're just looking at certain characters that really exercise faith biblically. And that devotional was 100% written by the staff of Christian Life Center. So I would encourage you, if you want to grab one of those on your way out, hey, let's start the journey together. 100 days. God, what do you want to do in our lives, in our church lives, as we extend our faith over these next 100 days? And I just believe God's going to do miracles in the midst of us. I hope you believe that this morning. Would you bow your heads with me as I pray for you? If you're here this morning and you've heard me talk, and faith starts for you right now, it starts to a place of saying, God, here's my life. I commit it to you. Maybe your life is somewhat live infected. Maybe you've lived a life that somewhat seems distant from God, and the Good Shepherd is wanting to bring you to a place. He wants to bring you to a table where he's taking care of you. He's watching over you. If you're here and you're in that place, I want to pray for you. I want the opportunity just to quickly pray for you. If you're here and you say, listen, I need to begin a faith journey with God. I'm at a place where my faith is not where it needs to be, and I want to give my whole life to him. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one's looking around, right there between you and God. But if you're here today, I just want to know who I'm praying for, and that's you. You need to give, Lord, your whole life. Would you just raise your hand up real quick and put it down? I just want to know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Thank you. See hands. Anyone else? Real quick, come on. It's your opportunity. Thank you. Right now, Lord, we come before you. We pray, Lord. We lift up those today that say, hey, listen, I'm starting a whole new faith journey with God. Lord, I believe in this Good Shepherd. I need my faith. I need my trust in him to go deeper. If you're in this room today and that's you, it is so simple. Right there as I'm praying, you can pray it to yourself. Just say, God, I give you my life. I want to live for you. I believe in you. I believe I'm valuable to you and that you have good plans for me. And I want to experience that. And so, Lord, would you come into my life? Help me to serve you. Give me the faith to follow you. Forgive me of my sins and set me on a whole new journey with you. And we're thankful for that. Finally, Lord, I pray for your church today. I lift them up to you and ask God, man, would your presence, would your goodness fall upon us? Would you anoint each and every person in this room, anoint our heads with oil? Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to come and dwell inside of us. That, Lord, we're seeing things. We are experiencing things through you that we have never seen or never experienced before, simply because we say, God, I'm going to give you my whole faith. I'm going to believe that, God, you prepared a place for me, and you have a place of potential, a place of purpose, a place of destiny for my life and for my faith. So I pray that over your people today, those who need a touch, God, just whether it be something they're experiencing emotionally or physically, Lord, whatever we're walking through, wherever journey we're on, maybe there's those in a room that are in a dark place. door. We want you to know we have a prayer corner over here. If you need prayer today, maybe you're one of the people that raised your hand and you just want to talk to someone privately, or you just have needs, you walk through. We have some team that want to pray for you right over here in this by this cross. We'd be happy to pray as long as you want. If you're new here today, or you're new in the last few weeks, I would love to meet you. My wife would love to meet you. It would be right down over this corner. Please come by and say hi to us. Other than that, love to have you hit the faith wall. We have this ministry fair. Listen, don't leave without walking by, seeing all the things that we have to offer right here at Christian Life Center. God bless you. Hope to see you Wednesday night or next week as well. Take care.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.